In this episode, we have Project Visualization Editor and Vector Vixen, Jennifer Borison.
Jennifer wants an iPad Pro for Christmas and the pros of being a specialist.
Selfish desires and Fred loves popcorn and cake.
Thunder! 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 Thunder!
Welcome to the Thunder Nerds, where we never let divide what death can join together. I am now and forever JD Riot.
And I am Brian Hinton.
And I am Frederick Philip Von Weiss. And you are listening to the Thunder Nerds, a conversation with the people behind the technology that love what they do and do web good. I think that was a sample from my favorite TV show, Little Penny Dreadful there.
No more let life divide what death can join together.
Yeah, it's not gonna be your favorite TV show after you watch the end of season 3 there.
Don't tell me. I haven't seen it. It's not on iTunes yet. I haven't watched it, but I still love it.
I'm not gonna I'll tell you, it was okay.
I don't want to know. That's the one show I don't want to know about. It's
so abrupt.
It's like, well, Black Butler and then Penny Dreadful is like my second favorite.
Well, I still love it.
What's your first favorite?
Black Butler.
Black Butler.
Oh, okay.
It's an anime.
Yeah.
A really, really dark demon anime. Yeah, really cool. But no. It was just like no one knew that they were canceling the show.
Yeah.
Like, that was the problem. Like, so we're all sitting here going like, wait, that was the end. And, you know, like, then you hear after that there's not going to be a season 4. And you're like, oh, we're all now pissed off because it was such an abrupt end.
Wait,
that's all.
They canceled the show? Really?
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay.
Well, they didn't cancel. There was some kind of things I read with contracts. What's her name? Eva Green? Right?
Eva Green.
Eva Green. There was something with her contract because she's like Tim Burton's new muse, so she has a lot of deals on the table, so she couldn't be involved in the project.
She's got so many movies that are lined up. I mean, they could have just like taken a couple, like a really, really, really nice long break and just been like, okay, well, it'll pick up in a year or two. You know what I mean? Like,
that would have been nice. I would have appreciated that because it's worth it. Like, she's a giant role in that. Speaking of strong women role models and vixens, let's get to the meat of the program. In this episode, we have a special guest. We have Project's visualization editor and vector vixen, Jennifer Borison. How you doing, Jennifer?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Jen, can I call you Jen, or do you go by Jennifer?
Yeah, you know, the only thing my grandmother called me Jenny, that's about the only thing I end up staying away from, so.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, no, I definitely won't call you that. Jen, are you from Sarasota?
Not originally. I moved from Massachusetts. My parents moved when I was 13 to Lakeland. I wasn't a big fan of Lakeland. It seemed not small, but narrow. And when art teacher introduced me to Ringling and I took some private oil painting lessons during the summer, I knew where I wanted to go. So
that's
where I attended.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, I love Sarasota. So.
Oh, nice. So you're not a fan of the cold weather?
Like I said, it wasn't my decision, 13, and I certainly didn't have to drive in it. So I would love to snow, but I'm saying that from a person who's never driven in it, so.
Yeah, I understand that. I imagine if you're an adult growing up in that and you have to drive in that every day, it's probably a bitch. And like in my mind, it's just kind of romanticized. I have like Jonathan was talking about with Penny Dreadful. I have that like pretty Victorian London in my head when I think of snow, and it just makes me happy. And I think of like Christmas, but I'm not thinking of like the day to day driving in it in like New Jersey, wanting to die.
I do not want to wear a lot of bulky clothing. No, thanks.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just, I mean, what makes it bad is other people who don't know how to drive in it. I mean, like,
because it's everybody else.
Well, you get that one person who doesn't know to accelerate and turn in the direction that they want to go.
Oh, well, I mean, isn't it bad enough here on I-75 in the rain?
It's horrible in the rain.
It starts dripping and everybody just slams on their brakes. And
everyone puts the blinkers on. They always put their emergency lights on. And that's illegal,
everyone
actually.
Else but us.
Their car is out of blinker fluid.
Yeah, it's illegal. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. No.
You know why no one's gonna enforce that? Because no one's gonna fucking pull anybody yeah. over in the pouring ass rain to give somebody a ticket.
I'm not getting out of my car.
Hey Jen, what year did you graduate? I graduated in 99.
Oh no! See, now I have to date myself.
Nice. Oh no! I'm sorry. No,
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 no, it's absolutely okay. I don't consider it a real question.
You're absolutely correct, Jen. I should not have asked you that.
I'm kidding. It was 96. I don't care.
Some people don't want to say it. Okay.
It was before all these big buildings came in, and
same with me.
We had the old fishbowl, just the way I like it. So
the fishbowl, that was great, wasn't it?
Come on. The first year we got there, we were allowed to draw on the walls.
Yeah.
That ended real quickly, and I think my husband was due in part to that because there was a lot of things people shouldn't have been drawing on the walls. So they ended up painting over that and saying never again. So.
I remember they did that in all the bathrooms, and it wasn't like a normal kind of graffiti. It was graffiti plus an art school kind of graffiti. So you could only, you saw what it was, but anybody else listening could imagine what kind of horrible, malicious things were on the walls.
There have to be.
But it looked so good. It was horrible, but it looked good.
It was good. Hey, your Twitter description says, I'm going to read this correctly, a wife, mother of two, illustrator, designer, project visualization editor for Sarasota Herald Tribune Vector Vixen. So from that, I assume from the Vector Vixen, you must have a focus at Ringling as in the illustration program. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. That was my major going in, and I never wanted to veer from that my whole 4 years. Although I took electives in graphic design, and we had one logo project, and I was hooked. When you can keep simplifying something down to something so simple, I mean, it takes a lot of effort to get it there. I was hooked into that redrawing of these things to make this communication happen. I love those classes too. So, I guess after that last year when I was doing that stuff, I could have graphic design,
So how did you go from Ringling as an illustrator to more a graphic design kind of job, I believe is what you're doing at the Herald.
Like anything, you have that evolution, and you're definitely, when all this technology comes in, I myself want to learn everything. If something new comes up, I want to take on the challenge and, I want to do that. And what can I do with it? What had happened is my husband actually graduated Ringling, and he went to Klasky Chupo, the people who do the wild thornberries and stuff. He was a storyboarder.
What? I'm sorry?
Wait,
do you remember the wild thornberries?
And now I can talk to animals. It's really cool, but totally secret. And you know what? Life's never been the same.
The animation?
No, Brian.
And wild thornberries.
They also did the Rugrats.
I know the Rugrats. Yeah. Chucky and
he did storyboarding for them, and it ended up we didn't like the hiatus out in California, so we came back here, and one of the first freelance projects I got was for the Tampa Tribune, and it was for their editorial page. It was an illustration, and I had so much fun, and they ended up saying, we need somebody part time. Will you come in here? And I was like, yeah, I'd probably turn into full time. Why not? This is I'll get a pay steady check. Yeah. So that's how it happened. I actually got a job at the Tampa Tribune first. And
That's kind of cool. Okay, so starting off from the freelance, and then you get in, and once they get in, they know you, and then they work with you. That's perfect. So what are you doing now then, as your day to day, because this is the first time I've heard this title, if you will, the project visualization editor. I can't even say it correctly, but I can't say most things correctly. Projects visualization editor. What do you do as that? What's your day to day of that?
I mean, I guess to some degree, when I started out as graphics editor there, and it was doing infographics and such, and I moved into this position, and it sounds, I know when I got this title, I'm like, oh, people are going to say this is like a, bullshit title, right? It sounds fluffy or something. It wasn't. What happens is our executive editor, a wonderful guy, Bill Church, he sees a need, he fills a need, and when we're adapting things from print and stuff that aren't working anymore, and we're trying to create new products, this title was needed for a lot of our online things first. So a lot of this was driving data online. How do we put it out there? How do we brand it? How do we communicate these projects visually, be it data or branding or logos or the whole package? And then we transfer that to print sometimes, because right now we're trying to think of online first.
Oh, so a lot of your work is online then, not print mostly?
Yes. It was print before, and now it will be adapted for print, but we used to do print and then adapt it for online in the very beginning. And that's not the way the world is right now. You know, we got to get up online. We got to communicate that there. So
it's not so much CMYK now. It's more RGB in their minds. So how are they? Absolutely. What are they doing to adapt to the web? What does that look like?
We're always just kind of come up with new solutions to communicate these things. We finished a Medicaid project, and that's an ongoing thing we keep writing stories about. It's a problem. It's a problem for kids getting Medicaid and getting dental care. And one of our really great reporters came to us, and we go to these meetings, and she starts out with an idea, and we build on that. So what happens, we created this, what came out of it was an interactive journey, and it was illustrated, but as this item would fall through, you would see this child's path through Medicaid system. And we toiled with it, and it seems like something simple online now, but how hard we worked towards it and the feedback we got after it went out was really great. And we told that story without many words, which was, I think a huge plus visually.
Sure. I imagine it takes a lot of work to come up with a design like that, that can communicate those points without having to depend on copy, but more the visualization of the experience.
Yeah, my position works really closely with the coder, the person who codes this stuff, and the back and forth, and we both learn each other's language. It was enjoyable to work on, even though it was a struggle.
What's nice about it too is there's no I just remember back in the day when journalism used to be like almost opinion free. It seemed like people weren't basically pushing an agenda. Like you had your Fox is owned by the person they were and so that. But I mean the visualization of it almost kind of takes the opinion out of it. I know that you can tell a story with visuals that could you could paint a picture that way. But people are super influenced by words. I think that there's a simplicity and also I don't say simplicity to diminish the effort, but a simplicity for the viewer when it comes to visualization.
And that's true. Really nice. If it's simple, I mean, it's always hard work to do these things, but if it's simple, I did my job. If it communicates, I did my job, I know sometimes even the people in the room that had nothing to do with that project to see it like, wow, did that just take you this week? You're like, no, but that means I did my job if it looks simple, but you got the communication, you got the idea. So.
Well, it's not that it looks simple. It's that you have to put in so much work in to be able to communicate those kind of points without the copy. And if you could do that, then you have something so effective. Amazing.
And that still goes back to the idea of when I was hooked at Ringling and I saw this logo and how you can break it down and keep breaking it down. And it still has the same idea. So, I'm fascinated by that, and it still shows up in my work when I try to accomplish that.
Definitely. It's difficult to be able to accomplish that. I'm a real huge admirer of the news industry, and I know the Herald Tribune has won a bunch of Pulitzers, actually. So they definitely deserve all the acknowledgement they receive. I always like to bring a little drama into our podcast, but I've heard the Tribune is unionizing. Are you involved in that at all? And what is that? Do you know what that's exactly about and why they're unionizing in the first place?
Well, around the country there's a few papers starting up that way, and we can all acknowledge that newspapers are having it rougher. We can all acknowledge that corporate is coming in and taking some of these places and making money off them and giving golden parachutes too, but you know, I think each newspaper is different for sure. You know, I can definitely see both sides, and I could tell you, and I've told many people in the newsroom that, you know, the drama, I don't like it. You know, I went to art school. I don't, you know, I gotta save me and mine sometimes. And, yeah, for the most part, I stay out of it. You know, I hear both sides and I'm open-minded, but I really love to keep an arm's distance with some of the, that type of stuff.
So is it the whole, like the entire staff, or is it just specific, people jobs?
Yeah, like anything, they, you know, they go through lists of names, and certain people are eligible and certain people aren't. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going around. There's newspapers trying it. You know, we don't know how that's going to work in Florida. I'm the type of person who'd rather like pop some popcorn and pick my feet up and just watch how it all transpires.
Watch
like,
it going on. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I popcorn. You know, I can control what it? I can control, you know, I'd rather be a tad bit entertained by watching the show, I guess. Does that sound bad? That sounds bad, right?
No, that doesn't sound bad. I think that sounds honest and true.
Yeah, exactly.
I think most people have that same answer.
Yeah, I just want to create, man. I just want to do good stuff.
Well, you're an illustrator. You want to do your illustrations. You want to do your work without any kind of complications from either side of the peripheral. You want to be able to do quality work and the work that you love doing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and that's to be commended.
I'm allowed to wear jeans and put my headphones on and create, and that's like the three things, and a cup of coffee, and then I'm good.
Yeah, I fucking hear that shit. Yeah, it's nice to be able to do what you want
to
do.
I like to keep it basic.
Everybody get out of the way.
Right? Yeah, come in there and tell somebody then. Let me work.
Well, yeah, it's nice to be able to go to your job and not have to deal with any kind of bullshit from anybody, and just be able to do what you are there to do without any of those kind of office politics or you know, politics in general.
I mean, that said, they're all great people. You know, I always start at that foundation. We're all great people doing great things, and I don't know. Let the people who are passionate fight. Let me sit and do. I'm a doer.
Yeah, I hear you. Can you tell us a little bit about, speaking of the work you do, Fresh Roasted Graphics? So that's your personal site, and you create, that's mostly, I believe, your illustrations. So I want to ask you this in two parts. So I want to know about what you do, about what you love to do, and why you do illustration. And then I want to ask you about why the name Fresh Roasted Graphics.
All right, what was your first one?
My first one is, what is your personal site about? What kind of work you have on there? I'd imagine you have some kind of quote-unquote fresh roasted graphics from what I heard. So let's go with that first.
Yeah, I think it happened in like 2006. We definitely, New York Times owned us as a paper, and you know, we started seeing layoffs even then. And that's when the bubble burst and people started seeing this. And you know, my work was still useful, and I was still, you know, hitting it hard. So I'm still there. However, you know, when you go through that and you see friends, you know, leave, you know, you're doing this hard work. And I always told my boss then, I actually think you guys interviewed her, Rough and Ready, Michelle Green.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had Michelle on the show. We love Michelle.
What an awesome person. I used to tell her.
Michelle.
What an awesome person. Back then I said, you know what? I said, this is all good work, but I need some cake. You know, I need to create, and I need a place where I have my candy, you know?
I love cake.
You can't love candy. I can't just sit and have, like, a meat and potatoes, you know? You gotta have some dessert. So we used to do these things, and then when I had an idea, I would just dump it onto the site. Like, oh, I should do this logo. I should do this. I should just have fun with this. And I ended up making some t-shirts and putting it on Zazzle, and just, it was like a mind dump for all my creative, like, you know, outside of there. And then I started to freelance more during that time. And so the site just picked up from there. And I don't even know. I think the site had that name at the beginning, and it was all surrounded by coffee.
That was going to be my guess.
The whole site is powered by coffee. So I'm like, what better word? I'm like, somebody said something about fresh before, and I'm like, that's it. And my husband said, they're going to think you're roasting coffee or something. I'm like, no, they're not.
I think everybody in the industry totally understands where you come from, and we all get it. because that's everybody's kind of beginning. Just give me some caffeine and let me do my work.
Love it.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. You know, and also too, I'm always kind of suspicious of people that don't have any kind of side project of what they do as far as what they love to do. Like, this is your personal freelance website, and people that don't have those kind of things, that don't have any kind of project on the side that they do to express themselves in some other kind of form of what they do on their 9-to-5, to me, doesn't sound like they're actually passionate about what they love to
do.
You're totally reading my mind. there you go. Like if you're a user experience designer and say you're not on Photoshop or you're not on Twitter, you're not on Facebook, you're not doing this on the side, you don't have some kind of site where you're doing it, and maybe you don't know HTML. Brian, there's nobody I'm talking about specifically here. I'm a little bit suspicious about you. Inside joke. Not saying anybody specifically, but anyway. So, yeah, but if you don't have something on the side that you're doing in this kind of realm that you're passionate about, I feel a little bit suspicious about if you actually have intent of passion about what you're doing. But you obviously do, and you're obviously passionate about what you're doing. I've looked at some of your illustrations, and they're really cool.
It's the skinny chef theory. It's like you never trust a skinny chef. You never trust an artistic person. You never trust an artistic person that doesn't do art outside of their work.
Fucking on.
Like,
well,
yeah,
even though I know
it's the same thing.
I know people at work will listen later. I always thought those first round of layoffs, I'm like, wow, if we're not doing and learning all the time and creating other things, where are you without this place? And I could be waitressing. Yeah. I would still create. You know, I wouldn't care. So.
Yeah, because that's what you have to do. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what's in your heart, that's what you do. It's because that's what you have to do. It's not, you didn't choose this job because it's what you want to do or you have to do, quote unquote, economically. You're not driving a truck 40 hours a week because you have to do it to feed your family, or that's what, you know, you don't have any other vocation, or you don't have a heart that doesn't have passion. You have passion for what you do. You could clearly see that in your work and in your illustration, and that's why you have the job you have, because you're somebody that people need, because you have that passion that fuels others to do better work that they do. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, they're always going to need you, because not everybody has that fire in their heart. Most people have a wet blanket wrapped around what they used to have a heart. I know. I was pretty much dead. But I'm still going, and I have the fire in me. And I love what I do. I love designing. I love user experience. I love product design. I love coding. So I'm gonna keep on doing what I do. And that, just having that passion, people are gonna need that, and people are gonna gravitate to you. I know you do illustration, but do you also consider yourself a developer as well? Do you do any coding? A lot of people try to have themselves positioned as a generalist when they first start out in the industry, meaning they like to try to have a multiple barrage of different skills to land any kind of job. But you learn as you go when you advance in your career. As you go, you have more of a feel to be more of a specialist, because that's what people are really looking for. So, like, being an illustrator, that specialty is really desirable, and people look to have that. But do you do any kind of coding as well?
Sure. No, I've toiled with that whole, like, you know, do you specialize? Do you, I mean, I'll always learn everything. You said product design. I'm like, oh, I'd love to learn that next. A while back, I thought with, you know, layoffs and everything else, I'm like, you know, I really need to learn to code. I need to. And I tell you what, it's really hard to turn off one side of your brain and flip on the other in the same day. If you're going to learn it, I think you have to give yourself a lot of time to do it. I can't seem to turn off that, that drawing side, that designer side, in order to get to the coding side of my brain. And I tried it once, and I left it to where I'm gonna work with developers, and I'm gonna design sites, but I'm not gonna be the one plugging in, you know, code. I think I've landed there.
There's something to be said about not being a specialist, though, and you know, the whole, what is the saying? What is it? Master of, someone help me out here. The master of none.
Master of none. Yeah, master of none. And.
You're saying it.
Yeah, I know I am. How's it go?
I'm saying it backwards. I know.
Yeah. What?
It's a jack of many trades, master of none.
Which there we go. You aren't doing that. You've clearly mastered illustration for sure. Looking at your work, I want to ask a quick question about your site for Cafe Press. You have a really nice ninja shirt. I'd like to make a request for a black shirt with black shirt with the white ninja. With the red, keeping the red
yeah,
belt.
Yeah, flip them around. But yeah, a lot of the stuff there came from ideas from work. I think I might still have up the bull that says bullshit and that he's shitting. I think that might still be up there. I ended up making it for our fabulous photo editor, and I clipped it out one day and put it on his desk because I don't know if he had a bad day or we just thought something was crap. I think it says bull crap. That's what it says. And a lot of those, and then all of a sudden I see him go up there and I'm like, people are buying them, okay. So
yeah.
Whenever I have a thought like that, I write it down real quick and I'll go home and just mess with it. And then I end up procrastinating something else. It's, yeah,
I love all of the different illustrations you have out there, like the cupcake. That's cute.
Yeah, that was for somebody leaving. She liked cupcakes and make a shirt.
Yeah. Regarding your illustration, though, what does your process look like? Are you a pencil before pixels person, or do you go straight to digital?
Maybe there's times I tinker in Illustrator or something, but it's always on paper first. It's mostly because there's sometimes I'm just not even sitting at the computer, but I think it really has to start there because I just, you know, you doodle different versions of things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, most of the time now, I remember we used to, you know, come up with, you know, great sketches and stuff and scan them in. And now it's like, I'll do a halfway sketch and just snap it with my iPhone and send it to myself and take it into Illustrator. It's, you know, it's like, who cares how it looks? I don't even care if it's fuzzy anymore. I just snap a picture. But it always happens there. You know, I end up being in a car rider line with my kids and waiting for them to get out of school. And I sketch it right there, you know, so...
So do you take advantage of Adobe's other products? Do you have an iPad Pro or?
No, no. Do you have an extra? Can I?
And I'm not. Yeah, right. They're like, it's like 2K.
Oh, thanks, Brian. Can I have one too?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I've got two kids asking me for all kinds of stuff. So
Have you tried it out though? I'm just curious.
I've tried it out with the Apple Pen and I've tried out the, how do you say it? Cintiq Wacom. Yeah. You know, the Cintiq definitely has that feel of like you're drawing on glass. There's a separation from your drawing when you're drawing on the glass. You know, it's really neat to have it right there and you're drawing right on it. Yeah, but there's this kind of like delay because that glass is there. I know the iPad doesn't really seem to work that way. It seems to work a lot better texture-wise and stylus-wise. I'm a huge fan of the Wacom tablet, though, at my desk. If you gave me a mouse, it would be like giving me an oven mitt. I couldn't even handle it. One time I had it in my back pocket. I was walking around the house. I left it somewhere. And for 15 minutes, I'm just like very warm and, you know, itchy. Where's my pen? I'm like, if I have to break out the mouse, it's going to take me a year. So, I'd love to get an iPad Pro, but it's just one of those things like, well, it's, you know, you're cranking on so many projects. It's like, well, there is still a learning curve that you kind of got to get into. And, you know, I got to find that time to play around, you know.
What do you think about...
Yeah, and also that, like, $1,000 to find.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think about the feel of the tip on the glass, though? That was what bothered me. Is it there? It's like no friction, like on paper.
Yeah, I really have a, you know, even my Intuos has a little bit of texture, but I got to tell you, I've rubbed it down pretty good. So it's slippery. But, When you go and use your card and you have to sign it at, you know, some store, I don't even like signing my signature on those things because it's like whoop and you just go right off the, their little tablet. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I don't know, I'll stick with my, I'm still okay with it, you know, down by my side working on the Mac. So, yeah. But I guess it would work good in meetings though. It'd be great to take the iPad Pro to a meeting when you meet with somebody. And do some kind of sketches right there. But, you know, I could do that on paper. So, you know.
I bet it'd be pretty fun to try out. I definitely want to get my hands on one of those things. But, again,
I mean,
$1,000.
If they release the mini.
If, Hey, if Santa brings it, I'll totally open it and have fun with it.
Yeah, please, Santa.
I want the iPad mini.
Sad, yeah, sad because the husband's in listening distance. That's
well, yeah. he has the same setup next to me. I mean, if he decides we're getting it, I guess we're getting it. So, you know.
Just cue him. Nice. We can give you the exact time point that we're talking about this and tell him to listen at this time point in the podcast for some good hints for Christmas.
31 minutes. Hint, hint.
I'm writing in the show notes below. Santa list. Badly I'm writing because my spell check goofed up. But Santa list iPad Pro.
Yeah, well, you know, he does the same thing. You know the Siesta Key rum labels? You've seen them around town? He does the illustrations inside of those. He does all this stuff too. It could be very useful for him as well. So...
I
can talk him into it.
I know you mentioned that you're a mother of two. It's always hard to find the time in life to practice your career and balance everything else. How do you manage your time? And can you take us on a journey through your day of how you hack time and be able to do what you do?
Yeah, I nobody will believe this, though, I swear to you. You know, you wake up early in the morning and you hope you made lunches last night if you had time. But, you know, I'm the one who brings them to school because it's on the way to work. And my husband goes the opposite way. So
very convenient for him.
Very convenient. No, he's completely and awesomely supportive and there. But, yeah, it starts at 6 a.m. and get there. If I didn't make my coffee, I pick it up. I go into work. I slug it out. There's not a lot of times I do lunch, and that's my fault. But there's just so much, and I end up wanting to sit in there and do these things. I like to sit there and do them. You know, look at up at the clock, pick my kids up. You know, even during the summer, I pick them up. I go back home. I do a little bit of work for work. You know, we hang out, we play basketball, make dinner, go over homework, whatever we do at night. And then by the time they go to bed, I'm right back to the computer. So... And it goes to like one. I've looked up before and it's like one? Three, and I'm like, I have to get up at six? Yeah. But
how much sleep are you getting? Like, I can't function without at least 7 hours of sleep.
Oh.
Wow, you get 7 hours? Jeez.
I do get 7 hours, yeah.
My kids get less than that. What are you doing? No, kudos to you.
Yeah. Good job.
So if I get anything more than five, I'm dead. I need like four or five is like my wheelhouse. Anything other than that, and I'm literally like, if I just committed suicide right now, I could do this for the rest of forever, and I would be completely fine with that. I have to quell that temptation. Like, I literally like, nope, 3-4 hours. This is the appropriate water torture.
Yeah, my husband has to remind me sometimes, like, come to bed, or, you know, take care of yourself, or... You know,
how much sleep are you getting?
I don't know, 4 or 5 hours.
Fuck. And you're like all good with that? Yeah. Are you one of those? Shut up, Ryan. This isn't about you.
There's times that smacks you in the face, LOL. But, you know.
Oh, God.
I like doing these things. I like, you know, I have freelance, and I really like doing some of these projects I'm getting. And I don't know, I can't pass up some of these things. So, and, oh, it's going to get really hairy once my kids start sports and everything. I'll probably pull out my hair, but, you know.
Yeah.
See, that's why you need an iPad. You can take it with you.
See, right? Because I'm going to be at some bleacher somewhere.
Husband hint.
I would be less stressed out with an iPad Pro.
Yeah, because you could be in your car waiting for them to get done with sports and you could still be working.
PSA.
Yeah.
isn't it always? So I have a question that I ask everybody every podcast, and I think I'm going to throw in another one too, but because I like this, and I started watching not a podcast, I guess it was a podcast, but it's a show on YouTube called Pockets Full of Soup, it's interesting. It's just about people talking about people and the things that they're thankful for and all that other stuff, but I want to go the antithesis of that route. So first I'm going to ask, how do you recharge? You know, what's the thing that you've got kids, you've got husband, you've got work, you've got those things that you enjoy, but what's the thing that you do to recharge you for them?
Yeah, the honest answer is, you know, I feel like I don't do it enough. I do neglect myself from time to time, and it wears on me. But you know, a lot of it's if I can take my lunch break and go to the bookstore, it's quiet time. It's my introvert time where I can just kind of poke around and just be left alone. Anything like that's, I don't know. I hope they don't get rid of bookstores. I know it's not a profitable.
A what store? I'm sorry.
Bookstore,
a what?
Any bookstore.
What's a what store?
An iPad store.
Oh, that I understand.
There's a quote. There's a quote that you have to get now from A Knight's Tale, where Jeffrey, or the guy who plays Jeffrey Chaucer, or something like that, and he's like, I'm a writer. You're like, a what? A writer? You know, ink and parchment. I write tales for a penny. I'll pen you anything. And so that, like, you have to get that quote.
Yeah, it definitely, you meet with friends and stuff. You know, even I just met with Michelle the other day to have coffee, and you know, it's just great to talk about nothing and just come up with like silly ideas and just have some fun, and that really helps me recharge.
So here's the new. This is new to the store. New to the podcast. So you get this first question. I'm going to see if I can, I'll probably change the way I word it a couple times, but the for you, it is, let's say that in a perfect world that you could have the most selfish thing that you could possibly want. Let it be life, let it be anything, you know, good, bad,
iPad
or ugly. You could apply it to anything, but what is, like, drop the most selfish desire that if you could get it, and whether people could get hurt or not get hurt, you
this
get
could
this.
Be a dangerous question.
Oh, bonus, people get hurt, yes.
Love that, yeah. Hurt some motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a little pain. For myself.
Fuck no. Yeah.
Man, you know, it probably involves something around, you know, honest to goodness, it would probably involve something around my work. You know, if somebody could dump some money in my pocket and I could go to some conventions and stuff and have some fun, I would totally do that. But I always seem to either not get the time or I don't have the money at the time. So,
what kind
you know.
Of conventions? What do you want
what
to go
type
to?
Of con? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I don't
what
know. You know, the Icon Illustration Conference comes around every 2 years, and it's always, you know, nothing ever comes to Florida, it seems, that I want to go to. So, you know, Creative South or Icon or, you know, things like that where you can just go meet and have some fun and see what other people are up to, you know? Yeah, so time and money is what I need.
Fucking hear that shit.
There you go.
Yeah.
But if you had money, would you, I mean, let's say it wasn't money connected to the job. I mean, like, is that the dream? Is the dream job the job you're in right now? Or is it, if you had that money, would you still continue to be doing design but in a different area? You know what I mean? Like, I could only assume that the newspaper can be only so fulfilling, you know what I mean, as far as artistically.
Yeah, there's an end point to it. There's, I mean, nothing lasts forever, but you know, I'm always ever changing. If I could dump money into a business and be my own self, that would be it. And actually, I mean, I think I've always told my husband, maybe this is it. I've always told him we need a gallery. Next door to it is like a vinyl store, like, you know, Tate's down in South Florida. You've ever been there? You guys ever
Not
been
me.
To that store?
No.
Comic books, vinyl toys, everything you could want. And I would have that next door, and I would have my design studio in the back. I would have those three right there. That would be awesome.
What's your comic?
Oh, you know, we just got finished reading Big Trouble in Little China series. That was pretty funny. I mean, you've seen the movie. It is the movie. But in comic book, it's real funny, so I don't know.
As long as I get to read it in Lo Pan's voice, two girls with green eyes. like I, as long as Lo Pan's in it, I'm solid.
My daughter's 10, and that's what she wanted to go for Halloween last year. She wanted to be
Lo
Pan.
As Lo Pan?
Yeah, and my son went as Jack Burton. So
are you fucking kidding me?
No, my kids rock. I love them. They just. I mean, not that we don't heap some 80s stuff on them, but, you know.
Well, it's a reflection on you if your kids rock, so good job.
I don't know. No, yeah, I don't. Exactly. We just all have fun together, you know?
I just love that. Wait, which version of Lopan did she go as, though?
No, well, you know, it never truly transpired into a full-on, you know, costume. But no, she makes fun of the old, you know, the old kind of, you know, I don't know, what is he, decaying? She makes fun of that one, but I think she likes the dressed-up one, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say, she's either going to be addled and in a wheelchair, which, I mean, that's everybody's dream for Halloween. Like,
no.
You know,
push me.
Or she's going to be the dressed up one in all the brocades with the big long like mustache. So good.
They love that movie.
I want to do Pai Mei from the Kill Bill series, the teacher that plucks out L Driver's eyes, but I can't bring myself to do the bald cap. But I just desperately want to swish my beard to the side every time somebody gives me something.
Fuck yeah.
So you were talking earlier about going to go to conferences and everything. Since obviously you're not able to go to those because you would take the money from this hypothetical to go to them, what do you do to invest your time to level up your skills of not going to conferences? What do you do?
Yeah, well, since my time is limited and everything, you know, I try to make connections with people. I like working in town. I like doing local stuff. A lot of these people will teach me what they're doing when it comes to web design and stuff. I don't know. I just, whenever these people have a project, I'm like, I'll help. I don't care what it is. I'd rather just learn something new. So being around others is, I think, really important. And others,
I'm
going to
say that you're an
extrovert,
right?
I am not.
No, really? You sound like an extrovert.
I am hugely not.
Wow, yeah. You sound extremely like an extrovert to me, because extroverts pull inspiration from other people usually, especially the way you're talking about. So you consider yourself an introvert?
Oh, extremely. If I can avoid something, I probably would. I know last minute when it comes to like parties, I'm like, I don't want to go. I think, what did somebody call me? An outgoing introvert.
Ah, you know what? That's me. I'm an extrovert. I'm an extroverted introvert, is what I say.
But if I don't get a half hour to myself a day, just kind of away from everybody, you know.
Yeah, fucking hear that. Yeah. How I recharge. Yeah. I need to be away from people.
I need that recharge time.
I want that. I want the opposite. I want 30 minutes around people and have a good, like, 23 and a half by myself. That would be so good.
That sounds like my nightmare.
Yeah, same. Like, I need a recharge by getting away from people, because people just seem to me like a thing that takes so much energy, so I need to be away from them to recharge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I love hanging with people. I love meeting. I love, you know...
Same.
Seeing what they're up to, but there's a certain amount of time I feel I can invest in that before I kind of explode too. You know?
Yeah, well, I totally relate to you. I think we're the same animal in that.
I like getting to the point where I feel like I've like brought shame upon my friends by not seeing them for so long. Like, and I'm like, I like that point or that part where it's like, man, I probably should have seen them like 7 months ago, right? All right, it feels good now. I'll reach out and see if we're still friends.
I'm in the same boat as you, JD. Exactly. That's how I am as well. Which is bad.
I do it to my parents. No, I do it to my parents too. Like, I'm literally sitting there, like, I'll look at a text message and I'll go, nope. I love them, and I love them to death. Like, they're like, at any given time, I always tell people, it's like, and this is why, you know, if you ever want to stay single, friends, just talk about this at first. Like, there'll be times where people will literally text me that I love more than anyone, and I will look at that and I'll just go, you know what? I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
I literally have to tell my husband, like, there's something important we should go to or do or somebody to go see. And I say, hey, when this comes up in a week, an hour beforehand, don't let me back out of this. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, because I want to back out. I want to just, like, shrink down and stay home. Make sure I don't back down. He's like,
yeah,
okay.
Because home is so fucking nice.
Who
wants to go out there? I get that. I get that shit.
There's people out there doing stupid shit.
Guys. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you a related question to your work, and I wanted to know, who are you looking at for inspiration? Who are the big people that you follow and how do you follow them? Like, are there anybody that you're following on, I don't know, like LinkedIn or Twitter or Dribbble or any of those other kind of channels that you kind of follow every week and keep up with what they're doing?
Yeah, Twitter might be the biggest place I get that from. You know, I don't know, if anybody has a Dribbble invite out there, you can send it to me, because I've been real lazy about, like, getting that. So I would do that. I would do that too, but because I have so much time on my hands. But yeah, no, Twitter's mostly where I get it from. You guys know of Draplin, right?
I've been listening to his stuff lately.
I just like how he just cuts through the bull and just says it.
I saw him at the front end conference recently, and
was that St. Pete, right?
Yeah, I like fanboyed all over him.
I saw it on Twitter. He was over in St. Pete. I'm like, we gotta go over there and stalk him. But here's me, like, I'm not gonna go because I'm an introvert.
So. I got an autographed copy of his book.
Dang,
he was awesome. You missed out.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have his book, but yeah. Oh, yeah. So people like that, it's mostly through Twitter and seeing their next project they're working on is, that's probably the introverted way of keeping in touch, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, magazines, listening to podcasts, you know, checking in with social media. Probably what everybody does, I suppose. Yeah, that's too bad about St. Pete, man. Dang.
It was so good.
It was fantastic.
Why do you gotta keep saying it?
He actually talked about it was so his, good. He talked about how he made the book. And I believe it's actually online somewhere, so you should definitely try and check it out if you can.
Yeah, I love how it's put together and stuff. I immediately got that. And my kids were like, let's go play basketball. I'm like, hold on a minute. Give me a half hour.
Yeah, he actually laid out the entire book himself.
I find that nutty because some of those pages are really, just really dense. I'm like, good for him.
Yeah.
I remember looking at skate magazines and surfing magazines too in high school, and I thought, all my friends who are girls are like, what are you looking at? And I'm like, yeah, but did you see this stuff? Some of this stuff is cool in here.
Yeah.
I got totally I could totally relate to some of those pages when he was talking about that. So. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Next time. Yeah. Next time.
let the jelly see drip.
He's going to be touring, so keep an eye out. And he's apparently going to be at bookstores and stuff like that, so you may be able to get him, you know, somewhere local.
He's not. He complained about the heat. He's never coming back to Florida.
Oh.
we'll see about that. Well, friends, the incense has finally burnt out, and only Fred's gonna get that. But that means that we are drawing to a close. I know you did. I know you did, buddy. But we definitely, Jennifer, we want to thank you for coming on the cast. It was really fun to get your perspective and why you love what you do and how you keep doing it.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm honored.
Yeah, we really love talking to people that are actually passionate. Thank you. Yeah, that are actually passionate about what they do, and you definitely could see that with your work and the way you're talking about what you do. And the honor's on our end. Truly.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
If you have a question or topic you'd like us to discuss, send us your text or audio questions at connect@thundernerdsho.com.
Also, hit us up if you're interested in sponsoring the show, and don't forget to pimp us on iTunes with a like or review.
Times when we are compelled.
And what compels you?
Do you believe in fate?
Deeply.
I don't mean justice. I mean retribution. I mean facing the consequences of your actions that have produced catastrophe. A sin that is everlasting. One that you have made immortal. there is a line from Shelley that haunts me. A single line from Athenaeus. I cannot get it out of my head. No more let life divide, or death can join together. Will you tell me your story? One day, my good friend. One day.